Okay, so again, good morning from this side of the pulpit. Good morning, okay, yeah. So we had the first three series on decision making. Anyone remembers what it was about? First one, personal. You take personal decisions, how we make personal godly decisions, right? Very good. Second one. Third is family. Auntie, very good. Second one was? No. So what happened was, the first one was godly decisions. Okay. How God helps us to make decisions. Okay. Godly decisions. Second was decisions by the individual. Okay. And third was by family. And today we're going to do how church takes decisions, or how we as a church take a decision. So there are three parts to it. I will come to it. Okay. Let's just pray before we begin. Yes. Father God, we want to thank you for this time, and thank you, Lord, that you helped us, O Lord, to come to this crucial topic of decision making, O Lord, where the world needs decision makers. The world needs accurate, Lord, decisions, O Lord, so that, Lord, we may walk in your ways, we may take godly decisions, and Lord, we do not regret on whatever we have thought of or we are planning to, O Lord. We pray, O Lord, that even as we listen to your word, O Lord, that you will speak to us, you will help us, you will transform us and our mindsets, O Lord. Lord, we surrender this time into your hands, and let there be no distractions or any kind of unwanted thoughts or anything, O Lord God, that will not allow us to listen to your word, O Lord. Lord, you help us and you be with us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes. So there are kind of three parts to it. I will come to it. So first is, before I begin, suppose if you've been given a free ticket to a football or a cricket game, whichever you like, whichever you choose, okay? Suppose if you were given a free ticket, and suddenly, like now, of course, the rainy seasons will start or something. Okay, a heavy flood happens around your society, and the trains, you suddenly hear trains are not working, and you are supposed to go to that football place, which is like a few kilometers away. What do you think, what will be your decision? It's free ticket, very good football match, okay? And it's raining heavily, or there is a traffic, very heavy traffic and all, but it is going to start in few hours, so you still have some time to decide. So what do you think, what you'll do? Come on, respond. Sorry, somebody said free ticket hai, somehow someday you will, somewhere you go, okay? Avoid, because it's raining heavily, you will go, right? No, won't take a chance to go. How will I go? It's raining very heavily. Okay. Anything else? Haan, toh luxury mein dekho and no going. Okay. Very good. Anything else? Ask a friend to come along. So that if you get stuck and all, then you don't get stuck alone. Excellent. Very good. Okay. Now scenario changed. Suppose 1 week prior, your friend tells you, okay, there is a nice, okay, very good match happening, okay. Whichever you like, your favorite footballer or a cricketer is coming to town, and there's a scenario change. But the tickets are for rupees 3,000 rupees. How much? 3,000, okay. And you are like, okay, it's a great match, okay, let me go with my family. Or maybe I'll go alone and enjoy it. 3,000 you have paid. On the day of the match, same story happens. It's raining, flooded, you cannot go. Now what do you think you'll do? Why you'll go? Paid 3,000 rupees, so I will have to go, right? Now, what is this context about the church, and what is this context about the football that I'm talking about? Decisions, okay. Decision. How does it matter whether I go to church or I don't go to church? I have not paid for it, right? So does it really matter? Does it really work? Oh, it's flooded. Situation is, no, I'm not in a mood. So let me just take a break. Okay. I had a fight in the morning, so let me just take a break. Or maybe I don't have the money, so let me take a break. Means we have excuses because according to us it's free, so let's just take it easy. Or maybe I'll see some sermon on the YouTube, like, you know, luxury. But what it cost us to go to church is the cross, right? The community that is formed today is because there was a heavy price paid. Okay, for all of us to be here together, okay, without any blemish, without any backlogs or guilt feeling, we are all together here. So, welcome to church, okay? Glad you're here. I was so glad that Virgil said that glad you made it, because, you know, no reasoning or no issues that came as a hurdle could stop you from coming to church. And that is what we're talking about today. Decision making. As an individual who comes in the institution of church, okay, how do I make a decision which impacts the church as a whole? And also as a church, how we make a decision and where that impacts the congregation. Okay, so that is what we are going to look at. So as we were initially saying about the foundation course, now in the foundation course there is a chapter called Habit of Fellowshipping. In that you will learn more about church, more about why we need to go to church and what is it all about. But today we are going to just look at a glimpse of what the foundation course books tells us about the church. There are various metaphors of the church. Can somebody tell what are the metaphors that you have heard about or read about in the Bible about the church or the body of Christ? See, one metaphor I said, body of Christ. Bride of Christ. Holy of Holies, okay. Metaphors which it is describing, like for example, he said bride of Christ. Then, no cheating. He can see the slide. Okay, anything else? Okay, I'll tell you. Bride of Christ, body of Christ, army of the Lord. Can you tell your neighbor, I'm the army of the Lord? Army of the Lord. Is army a one-man person? No. We are a collective people, right? So army means we go and, you know, we fight for the Lord. Family, and Christ is the head of the family. So we are all a family. Okay? So tell your neighbor, I am your family. Although you may be a family, like really, but yeah, you are a family, okay? So we are all connected by some way or the other through the work that God has done for us, right? So now if we say, okay, this is the church, but church should have a structure, right? There should be some functions that happen in the church. Now what are these functions? Number one, so the church has people called elders. Okay, now elders are not like elders, like the older people or something. Elders are the people who take certain decisions for the church, like certain crucial. For example, what we are doing as a RHC is searching for a place. So the elders will come together, they will decide with the pastor and the other important people in the church. They will say, okay, this is the budget, this is how it is. So elders generally are the people who help us to give advice or decision, okay? So I'm just telling you the structure. Later we'll come to the main part of it. Then we have deacons. Have you heard about this word deacons in the Bible? Deacons, who are the deacons? It sounds like a very big word, na? Like deacons. But actually, deacons are none other than our administrators, accountants, like, you know, who do these practical work, organizational work for us. So they are deacons, all right? Then we have the leaders. So can you find some leaders in our church? Which leader did you find? Bishops, okay. Any other in our church setup, any leader that you found? Pastors. Pastor is a pastor. Pastor is above the leader, okay? Anybody else? Worship leader, very good. Huh? Youth leader. Child leader is a Sunday school leader. Very good. Excellent. So you have leaders, okay? So we have some elders, deacons, leaders, pastors and the congregation. Okay, now why did I write pastor in the fourth, as a fourth number, is not because the pastor is not important. In fact, pastor is more important, and he holds all the other offices. Means a pastor can be an elder, a pastor can be a deacon, a pastor is a leader, as I said earlier. A pastor also is with the congregation. He is the shepherd. And so pastor holds all these offices, and these, you know, he actually, you know, is a part of all the decision making and everything. All right. So although the pastor is with the congregation, you know, it's the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ that he has kept all this functions with the pastor, but at the same time he is with all of us. So who is our greatest shepherd? Jesus, and also the pastors. Okay, pastors are also the shepherds. Now, when we say these, this is the structure. Now, why do we need a structure in the church? Sorry? Organized, excellent. Organized, there will be an order. And even in Renewed Hope Community, we have this kind of a setup where we have the elders, deacons, leaders, pastors, and we, of course, we have the congregation. Okay, so now as a church, okay, so I'm talking about the first part. Church is formed, and then church has to also, like, you know, so what do you think the sermon that we are talking about today, who has decided? Well, how did it come about? Every Sunday, the sermon, the offering, or the Sunday school, the food, that the menu that you see, what do you think? What are these? Who decides, or what happens? How does it all happen on Sunday itself, or how does it work? What do you think according to your thought process? Decisions are taken. Very good. When do we take these decisions? On Sunday or Saturday or Friday? Previous, 1 week prior. Very good. 1 week prior. Okay. Anything else? Some leaders are laughing. Okay. Yes, you are right. We do take small general decisions 1 week prior, but there are major decisions like sermon. You know, you remember in January 1st, there is a vision that is cast. There is a vision. You got that bookmark. Did we get that bookmark? What does the bookmark say? Correct. What is that bookmark? It is a vision of the church, the prophetic word that the church gets. So what happens is when we get the prophetic word, according to that, the sermons, the activities, what is going to happen are formed. So it is not like, oh, 1 week before I have to go to church, Sunday church hone wala hai, toh I will do this sermon. No, nothing like that. All these is formed during the months and years, you know, of planning and processing. So the core people meet. So that's why we need this structure, where we meet, we plan, and we implement it. So we take general decisions. When to have the Sunday school annuals, which sermon to preach, what diet to give for the street children, how does the Sunday school function. So all these decisions are general decisions. But there are some critical decisions also that is taken by the church. For example, if there are some people which we need to talk about, like who are impacting the church negatively. So that is like, you know, see, church is the body of Christ, but there are some decisions which are hard and difficult to take. Okay, because we are all, again, human. We are all born in sin. Okay, so there will be certain negative things that will be happening. So there has to be godly, wise decisions that the church has to take. Saying that, okay, this person is influencing badly. Or how do we go about it? What do we do about this person? Or maybe this ministry is not functioning that well. Why? What is the issue? So there are certain discussions that happen. There are certain decisions, critical decisions that has to be taken. So sometimes, you know, some people may ask, "Arey, why this ministry suddenly closed? Oh, suddenly why this person is not to be seen in the church?" Because there are certain critical decisions that have been taken. It's not easy, right? It's not easy. So it functions as a proper corporate or a proper organization. So it's not easy to have the church running. So because there are crucial, critical decisions that need to be taken. All right. So who takes certain decisions? So as I said earlier, okay, so as I said earlier, general, critical and important decisions that we take. Who takes certain decisions? It is taken by the leaders and, as I said, deacons, the pastors, the elders. So now you may wonder, agar inko hi sab decision lena hai, toh why is she talking about it today? To us. How am I important here, right? So what do you think? Are you important or not important as a congregation? Okay, very important. Like what? Like how? Okay, so your actions and behavior matter, but how does it help in the decision making? Your presence, okay. That means, okay, Auntie Jayashree is coming, so we need to kind of do something like that. No, I'm just trying to, because we need to think. Like, you know, as I said, the football match. I'm paying 3,000 rupees, so I have to go. My church needs me. My decision is important. It is valued, right? So I need to be a part of this team. I need to be part of this community, right? So how am I influential in all of this? As I said, the office is held by these people, but the congregation is also in that structure. So congregation is equally important. So even if you're absent that day, means our decision is on hold, kind of that way. Okay, because we cannot move ahead without you. So it says in Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. So that means whatever decision we have taken about the congregation, we have to give an account. Not only to God, but also to the leaders above us. All right. So it's not like a random decision. So imagine how crucial it is for every step that we take, you know. So then do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Okay, so who takes certain decisions? The leaders and also us. So it says that decision taken as a community makes a great impact and enables the church to grow, flourish and thrive. Church members are not meant to be passive. So we are not only passive observers. All right, we are the ones who should be using our gifts to encourage and build one another up towards unity. Just because I'm not a pastor or leader doesn't mean I have no role to play. I just follow the decision and can't take a decision is a deception. Okay, we all work and function as the body of Christ. So can you tell your neighbor, I function as the body of Christ? Yes. So like every part is important in the body, like that we all are important. Suppose if today one person in the worship team says that, you know, I don't want to play today, my head is hurting, I don't want to come. What will happen? Yes, last evening they practiced. Today what will happen if one person says, I don't want to come? Mismanagement. Suddenly there will be a lot of like shuffling and, you know, the eyes rolling here and there, because they don't know. Because that person was supposed to play a certain part and now he or she is not there. So what do we do? Kind of, na? That way. So like that, it's not only when we have the responsibility, but also when we are there. Like how we spoke about the child protection today. We heard it. Now it is our responsibility. Now it is me who will take this decision. How do I go about it? What do I tell the children? What is it like, you know? So everybody is informed and updated, and that's how we take certain decisions for the church. What is my role in this? I'm only a church member. So, but the Bible says in Colossians 1:9-13, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. What is the first thing? Live a life. So what is the first responsibility as a congregation? To live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work. Can you tell your neighbor, bearing fruit? Yes, bearing fruit in every good work. Means I'm also responsible, not only the pastor or the cell leader. for bearing fruit, I am also responsible for bearing fruit. Growing in the knowledge of God. How do we grow in the knowledge of God? Sharing, interacting with each other, saying that, hey, I read the scripture portion today. I understood this. What do you think about it? Okay, so we have healthy interactions, communications, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. I repeat again, it says that who has qualified you. Say, I am qualified. Yes. You are qualified to be part of this inheritance, right? It is not only the pastor or the leader, oh, I am no one in the church, I only come here, okay, once in a while. Not like that. Okay, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we cannot even say that, you know, oh, I have no talent, I have no nothing, right, you know. I am so sinful, but because it also gives you a hope saying that you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed to get this inheritance. So number one, live a life worthy of the Lord, right? So that is our decision. So first decision that we need to make today is that if I am in a church, if I am a part of the church, I need to live my life which is worthy of the Lord. So, and then we please him in every way. Maybe in our talks, maybe in our gestures, maybe in how we behave in the church, we please him in every way. Even if we go out, we are representing the church. We are part of that body, right? So we are representing the church. We go out, the way we behave with our society, with the way we behave with the family, the way we behave in our workplaces. People are going to look at us and say, hey, you were part of that RHC, right? This is how you behave, you know, nice, or, you know, it can have a negative or a positive impact. Then, bearing fruit, right? So we need to bear fruit. Now, what do you mean by bear fruit? It is not like literally you go and plant some trees or something. But bearing fruit means, what am I producing? Am I producing good things in my life, or am I producing something which is not very good to talk about? Okay, just like today we said. So bearing fruit is, what am I, for example, nowadays there's a lot of social media happening, right? So what am I posting on social media? Is it bearing any good fruit? Is it giving me any good context? Or is it giving me anything good in my life? Right? So am I bearing a good fruit? If I'm talking to my colleague, is it bearing any good fruit in their life? Right? So that's how I bear. So it's not only the responsibility of all these people who hold the office, but it is my responsibility as to how I'm bearing a good fruit. Grow in the knowledge of God. So many times we have heard that, acha, Sunday to Sunday I'm learning something in the church about the word of God. But what about Monday to Saturday? How am I growing in the knowledge of God? Whom am I interacting so that I can discuss certain things about, you know, what I have read in the Bible, or what am I watching that has influenced me so much that I'm not able to read the Bible, or what am I saying, or what am I, you know, reading sometimes. So what is it that is happening with us throughout the week? Okay, that is hindering us from growing in the knowledge of God. Become strengthened for future endurance. Okay, and God has basically qualified all of us to be in this kingdom of life. So we are responsible for us. So this is the part two. Part one was where, how the church functions. Part two is, how am I responsible to bring fruit in the church, right? So say that I am responsible for the church. Yes. So the decisions that we take, okay, for example, I decide to come today to church is a crucial decision for all of us, right? Now let's look at how the early church functioned, and then we will break it down to as to how we need to kind of function and take decisions, and what are those functions and why those functions are important for our decision making as a church. Okay, can somebody read this?
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved.
Yes, so this is how the early church functioned. Means each one was involved. Okay, so they decided to meet. That itself is a decision. When are we going to meet? Every day. Okay, for 2 hours we are going to meet. That's a decision that they are making. Then maybe they are taking a decision. Okay, who is going to make what? So that's another decision that they are making. Maybe they are having a potluck or something. Then they are saying that, okay, this person is not doing that well. The school fees are spending, or you know, this person is financially in need. So what did they do? They sold their position. What is this decision? Right? They took a decision that this person, like, I'm going to sell my possession, whatever I have, and maybe bless the other person. So that is another decision, right? Then we see that, you know, they were glad and in sincere heart. Maybe they may have certain situations at home, circumstances, but they chose. So decision is not only about taking a decision, but it's also a choice, okay? Choices that we make to be in the presence of people whom we love, whom God loves. Okay, so learning from the early church. So few of the learnings are biblically based decisions. So when we are part of the church, okay, we need to take biblically based decisions. That is, in Acts 6, 1 to 5, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of God. So what? How did they take this decision? That okay, fine, we are going to give this to certain people. How do you think? What did we read? What can you comprehend from this? Correct. Disciples were increasing and there was a need. So then they took a decision saying that, okay, let's just pray about it. And they said that, okay, now this person is responsible for this because we cannot kind of do everything. So I need to kind of give certain response because they were increasing, as you know, correctly mentioned. They were increasing. So they needed to distribute the responsibilities. And there was a decision that was made. Okay, how did they take the decision? They prayed about it. Okay, so many times as a church, we may ask, okay, how many of us are coming for this trip or, you know, for the picnic? Now, picnics are not only overnight picnics which we have fun, but it may help us to bond together, to know more about each other, to know each other's testimonies, which eventually helps us to know, oh, God can perform this miracle in their life, so it can perform you know, this miracle. So we encourage each other. So the decision, okay, of doing certain things, okay, maybe in our human mind, we may feel, arey, ye toh practical nahi hai. How can we distribute so many things to so many people? But when we have something, we pray to God, God will give us biblically based decisions, okay? And then we can read that, you know, it would be right for us to, it wouldn't be right. So they didn't want to neglect that ministry, but they wanted to move ahead. Now, decisions that help us as a congregation is regularity. How regular I am and why am I deciding not to be regular? Can we think about it? Or why am I deciding to be regular? That is again a decision, right? Then, praying, am I equally responsible? taking a decision of praying, taking a decision of to be hospitable, taking a decision to be to give to the Lord. Gifts means basically the generosity. So taking a decision. So let me just talk to you about the tithing. Okay, many times we may feel, okay, I earn very less and whatever I give to the church is, you know, minimal. It may not really have any impact. But as a congregation, we may not know the decision of you taking that step, one step ahead and saying, I'm going to tithe for the Lord, or I'm going to give that offering to the Lord, helps the church even to pay the bills. Okay. So that is the decision that as a congregation we can make. Suppose if everybody decides, no, you know, we are having a financial crunch, we cannot give, then do you think we can sit here today? No. So it is each one's responsibility that we take part in giving. Okay. And many times we may feel that, okay, there are certain things that have to be repaired. There are equipments that need to be bought. So it's not only sitting in the, you know, hotel that we need money for, but there is a lot of background things that is going on in the church. As we said, it is not a 1 week's decision. It is over a period of time, planning, budgeting, you know. So each one of us decides that, okay, I'm going to give this part to the church. Then what happens is the church functions normally, and the church functions and flourishes also. So your regular attendance also enables church to decide on activities. Suppose if I say, okay, today aaj man nahi hai church jane ka, and the church has decided on an activity. So it is your decision, okay, and we do not have a good number of people participating. So that again doesn't reflect very well. So again, that's my decision. So as an individual, I'm taking a decision to participate in church activities, to make it happen, right? Make it a happening place. So every time it is my decision. So yes, so that is one thing. Then we decide to pray for miracles. We decide that, okay, yeah, today there is a prayer point in the church. I am going to sit here today and decide and pray for people. Because in the Bible, there is a story about Peter. Okay, so Peter was arrested because he was preaching, and so he was arrested. And what happens is, suddenly there is this person called Mary, and she gathers everybody in her home and they all start praying. And as soon as they start praying, there is a miracle that happens, that suddenly Peter's chains come off and he walks out of that whole prison, and then he goes to Mary's house and he sees, "Are, everybody's praying here." So now what is it? Now the church decided to pray for Peter, right? Now if everybody would have said, "Arey, raat ho raha hai, sone ka hai, kal office jana hai." So if I take that decision, so every time you will have a conflicting ideology. Oh, how do I do this? And if the church is demanding this, so I need to take those decisions to help the church grow, to help other people who are in pain or struggling to come out of it. All right. So hope you're understanding your role in the church. Your role is to pray. Your role is to give. Your role is to be active members of the church, right? So that is your decision. Then, so that is what. Now, how does RHC take decision? Have you seen anyone or anything happening in RHC taking decisions? How do you think we take decisions? What are the decisions that we may have to take? Financial decisions we may have to take, correct. Sermon we have to take. Worship, who will lead worship? Who is fit to lead worship, or who is, you know, that way? Okay, very good. Street children ministry, what food to give, who will be the volunteers, how many volunteers are available, okay. Okay, so now part two is over. That is our responsibility, our decision-making skills, which helps the church, is over. Now we come to the third part, that is RHC helps us, how RHC takes decision. Number one, we take decision by the word of God. So as I said earlier, every year we pray, we look up to God and say, "Lord, help us to take decisions for the church? As in, what do we preach? What do you want the people to do? Where do you want them to grow? Okay, so in 1 Samuel 5, 17 to 19, it says, it's a story about David. Okay, so David inquired of the Lord. How? So it says that when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." Just like King David, we need to be dependent on the word of God, right? Inquire of him. Do you think this church member will benefit? Do you think this youngsters will benefit? Do you think, Lord, what do we do for the children? Lord, what do we do for the street children? What do we do as a congregation? So we have to, so RHC takes decisions by the word of God, right? Then we take decisions for, as you said, you know, leaders, choosing leaders. We cannot make anybody a leader, right? We have to choose leaders. Now, how do we choose leaders? We choose leaders again by praying and considering, you know, what God wants us to choose. So, remember, many times we may have people leading who may not be good at English. And you may wonder, oh, okay, why didn't they even, you know, why did they even make him or her stand there? Or maybe some people you may see are not like, you know, leader. You may not find them like that. But what is it that the Renewed Hope community or the team has seen? The team has seen, you know, it says in 1 Samuel 16, 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Okay, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, right? So when we choose leaders for our congregation, we look at the heart. We see how much they want to learn, how much is their ability, or how much, how much do they want to learn, the desire, okay, and how much of humility do they have to break down all the previous learnings and all and relearn or unlearn certain things and then, you know, get into that whole thing. All right, so that is how we choose leaders. So if you see a leader standing here, remember the journey that they have gone through, what chiseling is going on, or what kind of, you know, backing is going on for them. So we do not judge them because of their appearance, but we say that, yes, Lord, we have a leader and here we are going to submit to them. Okay. As a confession or as a confession of faith, can we tell our neighbor, "I am also going to be a leader"? Yes, you are going to be a leader because, as I said, you are not going to be looked at from your appearance, but what you want to do, right? So take the decision and say, "I want to be a leader and I want to lead people for God." Right, I want to bear fruit, right? So strategic decisions. So there are a lot of decisions that we need to take, like staffing, like, you know, whether we need a staff. We need, definitely we need an administrator now. So the decisions are still pending and we need to know how to go about it. Church discipline. Okay, how do we bring about a certain kind of code of conduct? You know, how do people... So, one rule that you all know about a Renewed Hope community that we have decided long time ago. One rule that we always emphasize on. Anything, anyone randomly remembers? Okay, I'll tell you. Language, excellent. Very faithful member of the church. Okay, so... language means we are a diverse community, okay, coming from various backgrounds. Now, that is a decision that we had to take because we saw certain people forming cliques about from their own communities or maybe castes or whatever, language. So we said, no, we will only follow OE. OE means only English, okay, only English. Because suppose if I am a Maharashtrian, somebody else is a Bengali. Third person is, you know, is also Bengali. If two Bengalis are talking, how am I supposed to understand what they're talking? And on the other hand, we are saying we are the body of Christ. Body of Christ means everybody has to blend together, right? So that is a decision that we had to take. Although in that decision making, there were few people who left the church because they did not, they were not convinced. They said, why we are coming to church? But we said, it's okay, your decision. So your decision to, you know, go ahead with whatever you want. So this decision is come because we have seen, we have to be sensitive to other people, right? So that is some strategic decisions that we have to take. So that it is not only the present, but we are looking at the future, right? So that is that. Then resources. Yes. So with the finances, as I said, that you give, okay, we have to plan out how do we benefit the community. Okay, we are going to Lonavala, we are going to have baptisms, we are going to do this. So we need finances, we need this hall, we need finance. We are planning to buy another permanent place for the church. So we need finances. We are planning to do certain repairs, so we need finance. So there is a lot of community work with the resources that you give. But at the same time, we need to look at missional. How are we going to do the workshop? For example, the summer camp that we had, okay, as a church, where do you think the money came from? It was free of cost for the community. Missional means they were the children that came, 46 children, they were not even from our church. They were from outside the church. And then we were able to cater to them. From where do you think the money came from? The church. So the resources that we use, we need to see to it that we use it for the community and also missional. So if God said, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, okay, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if we are going to be in the community only, then we are not going to. So we have to take a decision that we use our resources. Okay, so this is another decision making. To resolve conflicts, there are a lot of conflicts that may occur in the church. So there are some general conflicts, okay, which can be resolved, but there are some conflicts which need some, contribution from some part of the church members also. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, for example, in Matthew 18, 15 to 17, it says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. Okay, it is given in Matthew 18, 15, 17. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen to even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. That means, in other words, you know, excuse them from the church. Please ask them to, like, you know, continue with their journey apart from this church. Because what happens is, you say, no, one rotten mango can, you know, spoil the whole basket. So it's something like that, which the Bible also says. So if we have to take certain decisions about resolving conflicts, that's how RHC takes. Then the future of the church. We need to know, like as we said earlier, are we going to meet here permanently? No, we are not going to meet here permanently. What is the future of the church? How do we do it? We pray about it. We ask God. God, give us a vision. God, give us prophetic words. So that's how RHC is functioning. Pray for your leaders. That is the request, you know, that everybody can participate in this. Pray for your leaders. Okay, so what we can do right now is quickly, because this is about Renewed Hope Community and how we take decisions as a church, can we partner with somebody and pray for Renewed Hope Community? 2 minutes I'll give you, okay? Just partner with somebody and just pray and say, God, help us to take the right decision in everything that you have laid before us. Okay, so quickly, it is 11:53 now. By 55, we will pray. Okay, start. Anything that you feel the church needs to take a decision on. Amen. Okay. See, now this was your decision, okay, to how do we contribute to the church. So Renewed Hope Community needs your prayers. Pray for your leaders. Pray for all the missional activities that is happening. Pray for the normal activities that is happening. Pray for a premise for a church, for the church. Pray for. So if you need prayer points, please call us and we will give you ample of prayer requests, okay? So this is how we need to kind of move ahead, take decisions, you know. But there's one thing that we need to also understand is one wrong move. Okay, one wrong move can ruin the whole thing. Can ruin the future, can ruin. So it's like, you know, rowing a boat where there are 100 people in the boat. And one wrong turn or one, you know, miss can, you know, cause all of the congregation to go haywire. All of the congregation. I'm not talking about one. So it's a very crucial thing when we have to take godly decisions. So we definitely need a lot of prayers as a church, as a community. We come together. You see anything that is which is uncomfortable, come talk to the pastor. Say, Lord, Pastor, what do we do about this? You know, let's not wait for the other party to come and talk to us. We take the initiative. We decide. We choose to go ahead and talk to them. Right? Maybe they may be busy with a lot of other things. Talk to your leader. Talk to your mentor. And say, this is what I've observed. This is what I want to do. I am free today. Can I help out with the administration? As I said earlier, that, you know, there's a lot of decision making that happens in the background. I have a holiday. Can I come over? Can I help you with the offering counting? Can I? So it's your decision to help the church or not to help the church. To go ahead with the activities or not to go ahead. Don't think that, oh, I am only a normal person. I don't have skills. I'm only, you know, a small person. No, nothing like that. God has given us calibers, gifts, talents. So as we said, body of Christ. No? So if the eyes stops blinking, if the ears stop hearing, what can we do? Nothing. It's a small part, but it is important, right? So each one of us can contribute in some way or the other. Maybe we cannot travel, but you can just call up and say, can I do something at home so that, you know, I can help the church. So it's your decision to just take that moment and say, okay, because as I said, it's like rowing a whole big ship, oaring it and, you know, taking it ahead. So it's not only one man's vision, it's the whole church's vision. And it is, although we have been sent here to pioneer something in Panvel, but it's only a start. Like, you know, we have just started it, but to end it, it's up to you. To take it till the end, to take it to the future, right? So we will be there only for a few years. Then after that, what? Who will do it? You have to do it. We all have to do it together, right? So if each one of us knows what's happening, how is it going on, then we will be able to move it ahead, right? So that is what the church is all about. It says in Ephesians 5:25-27, and 29 to 30, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. Can we tell? We are members of his body. Can you tell your neighbor? Yes. We are members of his body. And we need to, you know, support the church. Take decisions for the church. Move ahead. Okay. Not only a collective decision, your individual decision. And now you know the functions of the church. I think now it will be easier for all of us to know whom to approach, how to approach, and where to approach, right? So if there's any confusion, do talk to the leaders. Do go back to them and say, this is what I want to do. How can I help? What can I do? Because we are a bride of Christ. We collectively are a bride of Christ. And we need to present ourselves holy and blameless without any wrinkles. Amen? So we'll just continue.